This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the Word. Come on, let's go.
Opportunities that we have to get into the presence of the Lord takes an element of faith. It takes an element of courage. It allows us to be able to step out and to say, I believe God. I have faith in God. And through that showing or that avenue, that demonstration of our faith, we enter in to that which God says is already ours. But sometimes we're so compassed about by things in the natural realm that seem to oppose what the promises of God are for your life. Whose report will you believe? There are so many things that are contradictory toward the promises of God that are manifesting in your life that you believe that these are the things that are truly real going on in your life. But the Bible tells us when Jonah chapter 8, it says that those who would observe lying vanities would forsake their own mercies. A lying vanity is anything that will come and present itself as being something, but it really has no substance. It's empty. And it comes to oppose the truth of God. But the Bible says, if there be bitter envy and strifes in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. The truth says that by his stripes you're healed. The degree on the wall says you're sick, you're going to die. Whose report will you believe? A lot of times we don't understand that we're thinking that we're still under the old covenant law of sin and death. And because we still have this sin consciousness, this mindset to think that we're not worthy and that whatever we receive, we deserve, we put ourselves subject to things that God never intended to you be subject under because he has set you free from them. But because we don't understand our position in God, we take things onto ourselves and we take things into our life that cause us hardship. And we receive things that we have no business to receiving because we don't know any better. Today's message, and if you have your bulletin, you're looking to your bulletin, but today's message is entitled Diplomatic Immunity. Diplomatic immunity. How many know what diplomatic immunity is? Let me give you a definition. It is a form of legal immunity that ensures diplomats are given safe passage and are considered not susceptible to lawsuit or persecution under the host country's law. That means that a diplomat could go out, rob a bank, commit a murder, do anything that he wants to do, and you cannot prosecute him because he is a diplomat and he has diplomatic immunity because he is not subject to the law of this land, but he is subject to the law of the country that he abides in. So therefore, your laws do not apply to him. You and I are of a different kingdom. We are not of the kingdom of this world. We are of the kingdom of the Most High God. And there is a different set of laws that applies in our life. And it does not allow the law of sin and death to operate in your life. But listen, the problem is this. You and I, we all look alike in the room. The only thing that would distinguish me from being a diplomat from you was if I show you my credentials. If I declare that I'm from another kingdom. If I stand upon the rights that I have, you cannot touch me. But if I never open my mouth, if I never identify who I am, I can be subject to the laws of this land, locked up and put in jail and lost forever because I have not declared my citizenship, which is from another kingdom. Because, see, until you make declaration, your diplomatic immunity is not put into effect. Until you let the powers that be know who you are, you're just like anybody else. Diplomatic immunity, a legal form of immunity that ensures diplomats are given safe passage. You can walk through this world because of who you belong to and not be affected by any of the laws of this spiritual realm that you have to deal with. Understand now, we're talking about spiritual law that also transcends into natural law. Because the laws that we have, the things that we see manifested, are mostly things that are in the spirit that have manifested into the natural. Let's go on and talk about some things. I want you to turn to the Bible to Mark chapter 1, verse 14. And it's because we have not exercised our authority as to who we are in God, we have allowed a lot of things to come upon our life and to linger. Sickness, disease, poverty, lack, disappointment, discouragement. A lot of things that the enemy has imposed on us that is normally reserved for the unbeliever. That is reserved normally for the sinner. Because those who have not accepted Christ are still bound under the law of sin and death. But we have been delivered from that. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, it says, After that, John was put in prison, Jesus came unto Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, what does it mean to repent? It means more than just to turn around, because there's a lot of people who turn around. I know a lot of unsaved folks who used to drink that don't drink. They used to smoke who don't smoke. Who are good people. But true repentance is a change in your mind about who Jesus is and all that he represents in your life. And because of that, you change your behavior. Once you discover who you are, it changes everything about you. It changes your position, your attitude, the way you're willing to receive or not receive something based on the jurisdiction of the kingdom that you come from. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, he talks about the authority that he gives to us as ambassadors of Christ, as citizens of the kingdom of God. How many citizens of the kingdom do we have in here? How many know that once you got saved, that you were delivered from the power of darkness and you were translated over into the kingdom of his dear son? So that means that if you're a believer, you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Amen? So who is your king? All right. Now, what authority do we fall under? His authority. All right. So we're under kingdom authority. Correct. And so if we're under kingdom authority, then we must adhere to kingdom law. We must adhere to the kingdom principles. We must adhere to whatever decree that the king has made concerning our life. So here Jesus begins to talk and to teach his disciples. He said, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What he is doing is, I've given you authority to reign over this world as kings. The Bible says we are kings and priests unto God. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. See, some of these titles I'll present to you today, some of you shy away from. Well, I'm not a king. Well, the Bible says you're a king. Or I'm not a priest. Well, the Bible says you are a priest. And if you're in the kingdom, you are what he says that you are. Now, you need to start acting like that. You need to start walking in that kingly authority, because Jesus told us that as he is in this world, so are we. We're here in Christ's stead. And when we don't take our proper responsibility in our proper place, we allow the kingdom of darkness to run, to rule havoc over the lives of men and women who have been born again, but don't know their authority and their right in God. They never presented their diplomatic immunity. They never told the devil they're not subjected to that. So they have bought everything that the devil told us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, it talks about us being in Christ and being new creatures. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new, and all things are of Christ God, who has reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the message of reconciliation. Now, it says here, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. That we have been reconciled to God, that means that all of the old sin debt, all of the old sin nature, everything that we had while we were in the world before we got saved, all of that has been reconciled. All of that has been taken care of. You're no longer under that condemnation. You're no longer under the debt or the weight of that sin, because all of that has been removed from you. In other words, those of you who are in accounting, you understand to reconcile the books, what it means. Your books have been reconciled. All that was on your ledger that was in the red has been wiped out. All of the debt, the sin debt that you owed, and all of the consequences for your sin has been removed. Remember, it says that here that you are not susceptible to lawsuit or persecution or prosecution under the host country's law. The host country is the world that you live in today. The Bible declares that our citizenship is in heaven. We have been born again. So you're not susceptible unto lawsuit or prosecution under this particular host country, or you're not subject to the penalties of sin and death. Let's go on. He said, all things are of God, who have reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the message of the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Not only have you been given authority in this world as a king, but as a priest, he has committed unto you the message of reconciliation, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the message of reconciliation comes to set you free from the power of sin and death. So although the enemy may attack your physical body, because we all go under attacks. How many in here has been attacked? Huh? How many are under attack right now? Huh? But he doesn't have a legal right to get a foothold or to stay in your life. He's only there until you decide that he's not going to be there any longer. But as long as you keep silent, he's just like a tick on the back of a dog. He'll dig in. He'll be there, because you haven't done what you needed to remove it. You haven't declared your immunity to it. And we'll see what we're talking about in a moment. Verse 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Who are we? We are ambassadors for Christ. What does it mean to be an ambassador? Who do we represent? We represent him. Now, anybody knows that whenever there's an embassy that's set up in any foreign country, that embassy is not subject to the laws of that country. And once you're inside that embassy, it's just like being in the kingdom of God. It's just like walking in heaven. Well, I read somewhere that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is God's dwelling place. So wherever you go, you carry heaven in microcosm with you. You carry the authority of God with you. Whenever you show up with the mandate that God has placed in your life, because now you are ambassadors for Christ. Listen to this. As though God did beseech you by us. Do you know what that means? God has spoken through you to them. You're in Christ's stead. When you speak now, you speak as the oracle of God. Oracle, and we're going to get into that in a little bit, but we're talking about one who has allowed God's will and God's purpose to be spoken through them to the lives of those men and women through the message of reconciliation. That message has been committed to you and I. That message of reconciliation is not just to keep you from going to hell, but it allows you to walk free from condemnation and to walk in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and allow us to be free, not just from the penalty, or I should say, not just from from going to hell, but from the penalty of sin, which is sickness and disease, poverty and lack, destruction of our family members. God is going to give you the ability to reconcile those issues that are still going on in your life, even though you are a believer, through the message of reconciliation. See, we get the message of the cross a lot of times, and we're still saved, but we're still bound. We don't have to be bound. We're bound because we don't know that we have to be, that we can be free. See, they don't want to teach us that we can be free anymore. A lot of ministries want to hold your sin over you as a reason to control you. Or they'll tell you that, listen, they don't know any better. So they say, listen, God is just trying to teach you something through your sickness. God is saying, listen, you know, this is what they're telling you. They're telling you that, well, you know, poverty is, you know, that's right next to godliness. You ought to be poor, you know, holy, holy shoes, holy clothes. Just be holy. And that's a trick of the enemy. Now, God don't want you to love riches, but he knows that without the financial resources, you can't get past your front door. You can't be a blessing to anyone. So the enemy has used things to keep us bound, but God is bringing the message to reconcile all of the wrong thought, the wrong teaching, so we'll quit receiving things that the devil has placed in our life that God never intended for us to receive. It says, you are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. Now, we're speaking a lot of King James, Old English. But really, what he says is that as an ambassador, you have the ability to command the people to be reconciled unto God. Because you're not speaking out of your will. I'm here to represent God, and God's will is not that any should perish, but that all will come to repentance. So in the name of Jesus, be saved. Be reconciled unto God. And that reconciliation is something, a process that has to happen in you. See, repentance and reconciling or reconciling things are all connected together. Although you've been saved and you've been delivered from that, but because you still have held on to it, you need to reconcile that thing in your mind. Repentance changes your mind about your condition because of your new position in God. See, you're not subject to the law of sin and death anymore. Because you're in the kingdom of God, you have been positioned in Christ Jesus. And how much sickness is in Christ? None. How much lack and poverty is there in Christ? None. So your position in the spirit realm has changed. You're in Christ Jesus. But in your soul, your mind, you're still living in the law of sin and death. Penalty and action. You believe that I deserve this because I messed up. I messed up and this is why I deserve this. We're going to change that thinking in a moment too. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it in the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Now, when I was reading this verse, the reason I put this verse in here, the Bible said when we speak as though God is speaking through us. And when we do that, the manifestation of what God's promise will show up, and God will be glorified in all things through you. We're not here to say, I'm the great man of faith and power. I'm the man of the hour. You know, I'm the wonder from heaven. No. The Bible says that we are dead and our life is hid in Christ. And when Christ, which is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear also with him in glory. Then we'll know you as a man of God, a woman of God, a representative of the kingdom of God. But if it's all about look at me, you can't see Jesus. So as a representative of him, we don't even have a right, listen to this, we don't even have a right to have an opinion. As an ambassador of the kingdom, we don't speak our own mind. Matter of fact, we have lost our mind. And we have taken on the mind of Christ. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Now, what does that mean? Because the spirit of our old mind is a spirit of a mind of worldliness. It's a mind that thinks that we deserve to be sick. It's a mind who will place things that people say above the things that God says. How many of y'all respect the opinion of the doctor more than the opinion of the word of God? That's a Selah question. Think about it. Well, the doctor said, okay. The doctor has presented to you some evidence. He's giving you an x-ray. He shows you the mass. You've seen the condition. The blood work comes back. These are all physical proofs that what the doctor is saying is to back up his facts. How many have had some facts presented to y'all? How many have been healed and the facts has changed? How was it that you got healed? Because you chose to cleave to what God has said and call that to be the truth, the final authority in your life, and to begin to confess that. The moment you confess that by his stripes I'm healed, you're showing your diplomatic immunity to the sickness. The moment you declare, when the Bible said, let the poor say that I am rich, you're declaring your diplomatic immunity from poverty, and you have said, I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. When you're feeling weak in your body, and the Bible said, let the weak say that I am strong, he was showing your diplomatic immunity from any type of weakness, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, whether it be emotional. You're declaring your strength. For the Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I heard what the Bible said, it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. That means to give you all of the resources that are connected and all of the power that goes along with it. Because you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. You have diplomatic immunity and you're not subject to the law of sin and death. St. John chapter 18, verse 36. Our kingdom is not of this world and is not of its laws. Jesus answered, this is when he was before Pilate. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is this kingdom not from here. When you got born again, you changed your residency. You became a citizen of the kingdom of God. Philippians 3 and 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven. That word conversation, I bet you if you look in your Bible, it says citizenship. It's because the word conversation is translated citizenship. For our conversation is in heaven. For whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I like the word conversation and the word citizenship, but I like the word conversation because it changes my speech. I have kingly speech. I speak the language of the king. And the language of the king is not the same language of the world. When I speak my kingly language, I decree and declare what God has already said about me. I read that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that will rise up against me in judgment, I shall condemn. Why? Because this is my heritage. And my righteousness is of God, is of the Lord. It's not my own self-righteousness. God has given me this. So even though weapons may form, sicknesses may manifest, if you declare your immunity by speaking the word of God, it may manifest, but it don't have to prosper. It doesn't have to go any further than what you allow it to go. I remember Jesus, when he had cursed the fig tree, they were all excited about this. Jesus said, listen, you can say unto a sycamine tree, be plucked up and cast into the sea, and if you won't doubt, it will obey you. The sycamine tree. I heard somebody say this once. So once you get sick of yours, Jesus said, listen, I'm sick of mine. If you're sick of yours, if you get rid of your sick of mine, I get rid of mine too. Get rid of your sycamine tree. What are you sick of? I'm sick of my poverty. I'm sick of my sicknesses. I'm sick of my depression. God said he won't put on you more than what you're able, so that you might be able to find a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. The problem is you and I can bear too much. We can bear being sick too long. We can bear being broke forever. Somebody said, listen, I'm so good with money. I've been broke for so long. You know, I've done so much with so little for so long that I almost can do anything with nothing. Is that how God wants us to live? See, the enemy wants to keep you ineffective. He doesn't want you to know what you have been delivered from, so he can keep you into a false bondage and get you buying into these reports. Because of what the doctor says, because of what your bank statement comes out at. You know, there are some people who are threatened on their jobs. You know, I'm afraid to lose my job. If I lose my job, what am I going to do? Well, see, your job is just a supply house. God is your source. And he promised to supply all your needs. Some of y'all need to leave those jobs and go on to your destiny that God has planned for you.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
From the heart of the Everglades, this is Pastor Arlen Payne inviting you to join us every Wednesday at 5:15 a.m. and 5:15 p.m. for the Consider His Word radio program.
Consider His Word.